Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Joining us to talk about 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage for the remainder of this hour, Dr. Thomas von Hagel. He's associate professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hagel, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
What was the church like and the world like in the 3rd century where Cyprian of Carthage served as bishop and eventually gave his life for the profession of Christ?
Well, a couple of things, I guess, could be said. The first is, we look back at the church and the doctrines and the practices were just in the process of developing a bit. So things were maybe a bit more simple in terms, I say, of simply the development of doctrines and development of worship and those types of things. On the other side, the church lived in a time in which it was being persecuted to varying degrees, depending on the severity of the anger that the Caesar of the day had against the church or lack thereof. So the church was on and off again defending itself from the culture and suffering the hands of persecution by whatever means they chose to do in the day, whether it was simply taking their possessions or torturing and putting them to death at times.
And what did it mean to be a bishop then in this early phase of the Christian church?
The bishop was seen clearly as a very central, unifying figure for the church, all the way back to Ignatius in the early hundreds. Clearly pointed out that the local church was unified around the bishop who stood in the place of Christ, and that baptisms, the Lord's Supper, nothing was to be done individually or apart from the leadership of the bishop in that congregation. And that's pretty much the practice all the way up to Cyprian's day as well. And so when he writes about the unity of the church, he not only writes about the unity of the church as it revolves around Peter and then later bishops of Rome in Rome, but he also emphasizes that in local congregations as well, that there simply can't be two bishops in a local area. The church can't be divided. It can't be torn apart. There's only one church, and the church is unified or is brought together around that single bishop who speaks and acts on behalf of Christ in that local geographic area.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him on 3rd century bishop and martyr, Cyprian of Carthage. Where is Carthage? I mean, most people only know it from Roman history, Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. That's what the Romans thought. But what was Christianity and the Christian church in Carthage like as Cyprian served there as bishop? We'll talk about that with Dr. Thomas von Hagel of Concordia University, Chicago, right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're remembering, along with the church, third century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage, Dr. Thomas von Hegel, author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries, is our guest. You can join the conversation, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Whereabouts is Carthage? I think most people would have no idea, and those who've read about it would only know it from ancient Roman history and the Punic Wars.
Right. It's northwest Africa. You know, I've probably most Christians are familiar with Alexandria on the northeast portion of Africa, just kind of around the corner of the Mediterranean Sea from the Promised Land, where the Israelites were enslaved, and then just, you know, across northern Africa, Carthage is on the other end of the northern end of Africa.
Much of what occupies Cyprian's career as a bishop and as a leader in the church has to do with both persecution, Roman persecution, and the fallout inside the church post-persecution. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was in about 249, I believe, that Decius, Caesar, begins to persecute the church and, you know, has a very insidious plan that everyone in the empire is required to offer sacrifices to the gods and goddesses of the Roman religion, and everyone then is required to have a certificate that they've offered sacrifices to the gods. So if you want to keep your home and your life and such things, that you need to do that. And so it worked very well. Many Christians simply recanted the faith. They offered sacrifices to the gods. They got their certificate. They kept their home and their lives, and brought many away from the church. And the more insidious part was folks who then decided, I won't offer sacrifices to the Roman gods, but maybe I'll just go to the back door and I'll purchase a certificate. And so I won't actually offer sacrifices to pagan gods, but I can still keep my life and my home because I have this certificate. And then, of course, some Christians confessed their Christian faith and were not put to death, and others did confess their faith and refused to do it and were put to death and were made martyrs. And so once within a couple of years and once the persecutions are over, all of a sudden you have those who offered sacrifices to the pagan gods, and those who didn't but bought certificates saying they had, they wanted back into the church. And so what is the church to do? And, you know, some thought absolutely not. Others thought, not a problem, we'll just let them right in. And Cyprian was one who took more of a middling position, and he didn't oppose repentance and reception of these back into the church, but he wanted to make sure that the repentance was sincere and true repentance. And so he simply didn't well, he wanted people to think through what they had done, the seriousness of it. So for example, he'll say something like, for those who have eaten and drinken the food and drink of the demons at their altars, before they return to the Lord's altar, maybe it would be good if they fast a bit, you know, since they've overeaten on these abominable food and drink, that maybe they just need to not eat and drink at all, or minimally for a short time, as part of their penance, to give them an opportunity to consider the depth of their sin and just how significant it is to deny Christ before men. And so to simply part of that penance in leading them back into the church to receive forgiveness. And that's, he was very concerned about acts of penance being thought out and practiced, and somewhat time-consuming, not allowing people back the next moment, but having them work through this penitential practice over a bit of time and through much meditation and thought.
There were no shortage of heresies in the church, and there was an issue, I believe, about whether or not the baptisms performed by heretical groups should be considered Christian baptisms. Where did Cyprian fall on this?
Yeah, as the church is growing, the church is beginning to split as well, and you have folks that are declared heretics and tossed out of the church, but that doesn't stop them from developing their own churches and continuing to preach and teach and baptize. And so one of the questions that arises in the day is, when you have a heretic who begins a heretical church and he baptizes in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then hopefully this individual who's been baptized in a heretical church over time begins to see the error of their ways, they wish to return to the Christian church, and so the question is are they baptized Christian or not? And so this issue arose in the day, and the argument of Cyprian is that, you know, it's tied to some other issues as well, but that there is no salvation outside of the church, that a martyr outside of the church is not a martyr. I think in our contemporary Lutheran terms, we understand it that good works apart from Christ are not good works. And so Cyprian's argument was that the baptism of heretics are a heretical baptism, that there is no salvation outside of the church, and all that heretics do are heretical. It's no different than pagans. And so he was not ready to accept these baptisms, and a kerfuffle rose in the church, and it was beginning to get addressed, and then there were further persecutions, and so it really never came to a completion in Cyprian's day, and really didn't get addressed till later in Augustine's, and then in kind of a similar concern with the Donatists in his day. But he was, you know, simply concerned about the issue in the day, and didn't want to just let it pass by without some serious thought on the issue.
What do we know about his martyrdom with about a minute?
The first one of the first persecutions happened. He ran out of town. He, you know, in exile, and he was criticized for that. But he pointed out he had a dream in which God told him to do that, and he pointed to biblical verses that said it's fine to flee in times of danger. He came back after the persecution was over, and then other persecutions came, and finally he was arrested. He was given the opportunity to recant, just like the majority of cases in the day. He refused to recant. He refused to offer sacrifices to the pagan gods, and so he willingly accepted the punishment of the day. And for him, the punishment was to be beheaded. And we're told in his lives, you know, the lives that have preserved the stories that, you know, they took him out into the woods. He simply knelt down and took off his vestments and bowed down easily, you know, for them to help. And he was simply beheaded. And the Christians then took his body and cared for it, as they often did for the martyrs. They were considered holy people. And just like today, we bury our Christian dead and show them reverence. Great reverence was shown to the bodies of the martyrs in the early church as well.
Finally, with only about 20 seconds, the church observes the person and work of Cyprian of Carthage on this day. Why should we do this? 20 seconds.
If nothing else, the martyrs of the church, as I just said, folks who are willing to stand up and clearly confess their faith in Christ and the message of the gospel, that they certainly, to see God working through these people, it can do nothing but strengthen our faith. To see that God working through men and women like that, and certainly he can work through us, and also that possibly we can imitate them in our own lives, particularly today when we might suffer a bit of persecution, made fun of, ridiculed and such. But here is a man who is willing to risk life, his very life, for his faith in Christ. And so for us to simply be ridiculed is almost kind of a silly fear to when we have the opportunity to announce and confess our faith in Christ as our Savior.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. You can purchase this book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website. Just look for One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism by Dr. Thomas von Hagel under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you for being our guest, Dr. von Hagel.
Thanks for having me again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our weekly series with Dr. Craig Evans on how modern scholars distort the Gospels. Tomorrow we're going to discuss the world in which Jesus lived. The example of the martyrs is one that we ought to take note of. We were talking earlier about the disapproval of the general public when the Christian displays his symbol and makes the claim thereby that Jesus Christ really is the sole way of salvation for all sinners, you and me included. And at times in the church's history, we will enjoy relative peace in proclaiming that word, but we must proclaim it nonetheless, and at times there will be persecution, perhaps even leading to death, and still we must proclaim it. It is the salvation of the world, ourselves, and the whole world. I'm Todd Wilkin, talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.